In this video, I'm going to be talking about how you can prepare for a recession. No one knows when a recession is coming, and anyone that claims to know isn't being 100% with you. It's speculation and at most an educated guess. That being said, 2/3 of CFOs are predicting that we will see a recession in 2020. So instead of speculating, I want to walk you through 5 actionable ways that you can make sure that you're prepared for a recession. Hi, my name is Erica and welcome to my channel. My background is as a lawyer specializing in mergers and acquisitions and project finance, but my passion is really personal finance, and I created this channel to hopefully help you take control of your personal finances. So if you're interested in this kind of content, please do subscribe below. It's really going to help the channel grow and I really appreciate it. So diving right in, the first thing you should do to prepare for a recession is to understand your net worth. Last week I did a video on understanding your net worth because I felt it would be really important to cover before diving into how you can prepare for a recession. And later in this video, I'll talk about how understanding my net worth has enabled me to make some decisions about how I want to be positioned for a recession. The reason that understanding your net worth is so important is so that you can understand how your assets are allocated. So what percent of your assets are in stock? What's in cash? What's real estate? In order to prepare for a recession, you really need to map out your net worth so that you can understand what your exposures are in different asset classes if things turn for the worse. So just as an extreme example, if the stock market goes down by 80%, but you only have $1,000 in the stock market, then your exposure is $800. But if you have $1 million invested in the stock market, then your risk is $800,000. That's a big difference that you should really be thinking about. If you have student loans or credit card debt and a recession happens, what's your exposure there? Even if you lose your job, what's the minimum amount of payments you'd have to be making every month? You want to do a net worth analysis to see where your weak spots could potentially be. So you know in an economic downturn that stocks usually go down 30, 40, 50%. So if you currently own 30% of your net worth in stocks, that means that your potential downside to your total net worth in just stocks alone could be 9 to 15%. Same thing in real estate. If you own 80% of your wealth in real estate alone right now, then you should be prepared for the fact that if the housing market goes down 20, 30, 40%, then you could be losing up to 1/4 of your net worth. So that's the reason why you do the net worth analysis, so you can figure out how much each asset is worth and the worst case scenario across all of them. Another point, what happens if the dollar, which has been very strong, starts weakening? This is something I've had to spend time thinking about because I'm an American living in Japan, married to a Swede. So we have assets denominated in different currencies, US dollars, Swedish krona, and Japanese yen, and have had to be really intentional about making sure our exposures across those 3 different currencies are roughly even. There are so many hypothetical situations like this that you really need to think about when you're starting to prepare for a recession, which is why it's so important to understand your net worth and what it's composed of. This is so that you can take a look at it and think, for instance, okay, maybe I have a little too much exposure to the stock market and want to take that down a bit. So if you missed last week's video on understanding your net worth, I'll link it above. I also have a free net worth tracker that I'll link below in the description. The second thing that you can do to prepare for a recession is to save aggressively so that you can build up cash. Cash is going to be king in any economic downturn. You'll want to be cash heavy in a recession for a number of reasons, which I'll go over in the next 2 tips a little later. If you're watching this as a millennial, I really believe that now is the time you should be saving and living frugally so that in the future you can live a life of abundance. That's not to say to deprive yourself, but really just take a step back and think, are these things that I'm purchasing really bringing me joy and purpose? Or are you buying these things because you're bored or want to impress someone or just out of habit? If you're spending 100% of your paycheck now, chances are things are going to be pretty tight when there is an economic downturn. Living frugally like this, making intentional choices about your purchases, sticking to a budget, are really going to help you build up cash so that you're not going to be as tight when things take a turn for the worse. By the way, if you're interested in hearing my tips for saving money, I'll go ahead and link that video above. The third tip for preparing for a recession is to build an emergency fund if you haven't already. This is why tip two, to save aggressively, is important so that you have the money to build up an emergency fund. You can think of an emergency fund as a cash safety net for worst case scenarios. So if you lose your job or have a medical emergency, it's always good to have an emergency fund, but it's particularly important when you're preparing for a downturn in the economy because there are so many more what ifs that you need to worry about. What if I lose my job? What if I lose my tenants? What if business slows? You'll hear most financial professionals say that you need 3 to 6 months of living expenses in your emergency fund. So that's everything you need to continue your lifestyle as it is today and meet any obligations you might have, like credit card payments, student loans, rent, mortgages. I actually think if you can manage, it's better to have 6 to 9 months of expenses in your emergency fund as you're preparing for a recession. Because looking back at the data we have from the Great Recession, the mean duration of unemployment for those who lost their jobs was 35 weeks or about 8 months. So if you can, it's just so much better to err on the side of caution and pad your emergency fund more than you normally would. One of the reasons that we have to be particularly cash heavy is because we own a couple of rental properties. And right now, those rental properties are generating enough passive income for us every month to cover the mortgages and a little more. But if we see a downturn in the economy and unemployment rates spike, then we could lose some of those tenants that we currently have in those rental properties. In which case, we would lose that rental income that we currently use to cover the mortgages. So having a cash-heavy emergency fund prevents us from being in a situation where we'd have trouble paying the mortgages if that kind of scenario were to play out. Before I move on to the fourth point, I really want to drive this point home about why having an emergency fund is going to be one of the top priorities you should focus on when you're preparing for a recession. One is it gives you peace of mind and security and stability. Think of it as kind of a financial weighted blanket. Two is if your worst case scenario, let's say it's losing your job, does happen, then instead of having to take out additional debt to cover your living expenses, you have this emergency fund that you can fall back on until you get back up on your feet. The dangerous part of recessions is that many people don't spend any time planning for worst case scenarios. And instead of building an emergency fund, they're spending everything that they earn. So when a job loss does happen, they're unprepared and maybe they have to go into debt to continue to support their lifestyle. And a lot of times, this triggers this downward spiral where now they're just paying the minimum balance on the credit cards and falling deeper into debt with those high interest rates. This is why, if you only take one thing from this video, I really hope that you'll start to build your emergency fund today. I think that the best place you can keep an emergency fund is in a high yield savings account. So if you haven't already, you can go ahead and check out the video that I did on high yield savings accounts. Tip number four is to pay down high interest debt. This is another reason why you want to be saving now, so that you can use that money towards paying off debt, particularly high interest debt like credit card debt. This is just something you don't want to be weighed down by during a recession. Since leading up to and during a recession, interest rates are going to be very low, this might actually be a good time to look into taking advantage of those low interest rates by refinancing your high interest debt. Before I go into how I personally have prepared for the recession, I want to talk about my fifth tip, which is to equip yourself with understanding. I think as a starter, you'll really want to understand how recessions work and how they'll impact the assets you own, including your stocks. I'm not going to dive deep into these topics today, but I'll just say a lot of times in finance, I think fear comes from not understanding how things work yourself. So you're trusting everything that you're consuming. You're trusting the news anchor telling you that the market is not going to recover. You're trusting your neighbor who's panicking and selling all of his stock and telling you to do the same. And so I think by equipping yourself with this knowledge of how recessions work, of how they'll impact your assets, it'll help you avoid falling into the trap that so many people fall into during a recession, which is making poor financial decisions out of fear and lack of understanding. Decisions that are emotionally driven and not rationally driven. That's one of the reasons I started this channel, because I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, and because of it, people are making poor financial decisions that'll take them a long time to recover from. So I felt like I wanted to contribute to putting good financial advice out there. And especially in a recession where emotions are high and people are panicking, the best thing you can do is to take in good information so that you can ignore all of this noise and know that you have a good foundational understanding of how recessions work and how your assets are going to be affected. When stocks are going down, you know that they'll eventually come back up and you just need to ride it out. By understanding the basics of behavioral finance, you'll know that people don't always act rationally when making decisions related to their finances and may be influenced by behavioral biases, which lead them to making suboptimal decisions. So by equipping yourself with this knowledge, you won't just follow along blindly when your neighbor is panicking and selling all of his stocks because the market has dropped 30%. Another thing I'll say on this, if you're contributing monthly to your 401k and the market continues to drop, don't stop, just continue contributing to it. History shows that equities will increase 7 to 8% a year on a long-term basis. So the fact that you're buying stocks and contributing monthly when equity markets are trading lower, then that's only going to help you in the future. Again, just make sure you don't get caught up in the headlines that are telling you to sell your stocks, because that's not what we're trying to accomplish here. Particularly as a millennial, you have time on your side. As someone who has just started their journey in personal finance, the amount that you have in your 401k, for instance, is so small in relative perspective to what it'll become in the future, versus someone who's 60, 70, and about to retire. Not just that your 401k is smaller, but you have a longer timeline to be okay with that risk right now, because you're not going to be tapping into your 401k anytime soon. So the biggest mistake you can make when the market crashes is to panic and sell because a headline is telling you to do so. Know that you have time on your side, the markets will come back up, and as long as you remove speculation and emotion from that equation, you'll be completely fine. So take some time this week to read up on these things and understand how they work and equip yourself with this knowledge, because I promise that when we do hit a recession, it's going to pay off for you. Another upside of equipping yourself with knowledge is that when the market crashes, instead of being fearful, you might just see opportunity instead. In the words of Mark Cuban and Warren Buffett, the greatest opportunities come when you are one of the few with cash. And bad news is an investor's best friend. It lets you buy a slice of America's future at a marked-down price. To summarize this tip, just spend a few hours to study up on how a recession happens, how it'll affect your assets, and how people are going to be influenced by behavioral biases, particularly during a recession. Okay, so as promised, I wanted to talk through several things that we've done to prepare for a recession. But I do want to say that personal finance is very personal, and there's not going to be a one-size-fits-all solution, because a lot of it does depend on what your assets and liabilities are and what your risk tolerance is. But that being said, just in case you are curious, I wanted to share what we're doing to prepare. So first, we each have a cash-heavy emergency fund that'll cover any worst-case scenarios. Second, we keep very close track of our net worth and exposures across all asset classes, and in preparation for a recession, have taken our exposure in equities down from 30% to less than 5%. Third, we have increased our position in gold to about 20% because of its anti-fragile nature in times of economic hardship. Fourth, as mentioned, because we have assets in three different currencies, we've tried to balance them out as much as possible, just in case, for example, the dollar weakens. Fifth, since we're pretty cash heavy right now And in this falling interest rate environment, we've set up a CD ladder to lock in current interest rates, which will likely continue to fall. If you haven't heard of a CD ladder, it's basically a strategy where you're putting money into separate CDs that will mature at different times. So if you have $4,000, then to create a CD ladder, maybe you'd put $1,000 each into a 6, 9, 12, and 18 month CD. Okay, so you've made it this far. I want to tell you that next week I'm going to be doing a video that I'm really excited about, and it's about how I travel using credit card points. So if you haven't already, please do subscribe and hit the notification bell so that you'll be notified when I post that video next Tuesday. And again, thank you so much for your support. If you want to hear more from me, you can check out these two videos.